Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. Roll and I are going on about poetry. Where do you take us next?
I think there was an article in the Wall Street Journal magazine for the weekend that reminded me of something that I should really always begin with in discussing poetry, and that is the pleasure and the joy and the understanding that comes when you read it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, reading a poem in a book is like seeing The Wizard of Oz entirely in black and white. You know, poems are almost all meant to be heard, to yes. listen to. And when you read a poem out loud, suddenly you begin to hear the rhythms and the sounds that you tend to overlook when you're just sitting there reading the poem. And it's no wonder that a lot of people are put off by poetry, whereas if they heard it read by somebody who really reads, you know, there are local poets who are just exceptional at reading. Dale Hockey is one. Ann Bowden is another. Sal Marisi, who has been on this program.
Very dramatic reading.
Reads dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me just give you one example of what happens. Most of you are familiar, I'm sure, with the tiger. You had it somewhere in your schooling, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Forests of the Night. Mm-hmm. But the image there is of God with a hammer and anvil and white-hot metal pounding the tiger into shape instead of creating the lamb in a very comforting environment. But listen to his use of the word what and to imitate the beat of the hammer as it pounds down on the anvil. In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? And what shoulders and what art could twist the sinews of thy heart? And when thy heart began to beat, what dread hands and what dread feet? What the hammer, what the chain? In what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil, what dread grasp dare its deadly terrors clasp? You can hear the...
Yeah, it's a hammer blow,
The hammer blow being forged. And you tend, if you're not listening to your... I mean, I suppose you can read in a way that you listen, but boy, to hear it.
Yeah. I remember listening to Father Marlin in the radio workshop we had at St. Ambrose. He was reading a poem, recording it for his mother, and I was mesmerized by his reading. And I looked into the poem, and I found it was a hackneyed poem that had been written in 1882 by an Englishman who had spent 3 years in Texas. And by 1919, a movie was made of this poem, which is entitled Lasca. It's a story of a guy who's in Texas, and he has a Mexican sweetheart, and they are out camping with the cattle, and the Texas norther blows up, and they are run down in a stampede, and Lasca is killed. They made a movie of it, and I read a newspaper story talking about Lasca in 1919. It says, of course, it is a poem that every man, woman, and child in the country knows. And I thought, really? How could it disappear that completely?
Yeah.
But I remember Marlin reading the end of that. After, you know, when I could over a surge the sea of steers, blows that beat blood into my eyes, and when I could rise, Lasca was dead. I gouged out a grave a few feet deep, and there in earth's arms I laid her to sleep. And there she is lying, and no one knows. And the summer shines, and the winter snows. For many a day the flowers have spread a pall of petals over her head, and the little gray hawk hangs aloft in the air, and the sly coyote trots here and there, and the black snake glides and glitters and slides into a rift in a cottonwood tree, and the buzzard sails on and comes and is gone, stately and still like a ship at sea. And I wonder why. I do not care for the things that are like the things that were. does half my heart lie buried there in Texas, down by the Rio Grande. Dramatic reading.
Yeah.
And people used to make a living going across, around the country reading that at dinners.
Oh, they did, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. That's, I love that hackneyed old poem. I really do, and I know it by heart. I'll never forget, though, hearing Marlon read it. And I think it was just that reading, the sound of it, that just pressed it into my memory.
Well, you know, even prose bears listening to by having it read out loud. I mean, some of the great stylists, Faulkner, Hemingway, Melville, you know, they all give something more if they're read out loud. Words, Dickens, mm-hmm. Bleak House. Read that first chapter of Bleak House describing the fog as it surrounds the Chancery Court. And you know the end of the novel by the time you're through with the first paragraph.
I came across a French poet, Charles Peguet, who was part of a special group in France between the wars. They were very religious people. He was an atheist and became a deep Catholic. And I picked up a little book called God Speaks. And I don't know, it just impressed itself on me. Just a quick line in here. This is God speaking. Nothing is so beautiful as a child going to sleep while he is saying his prayers, says God. I tell you, nothing is so beautiful in the world. And yet I have seen beautiful sights in the world, and I know something about it. My creation is overflowing with beauty. My creation overflows with marvels. There's so many that you don't know where to put them. I've seen millions and millions of stars rolling under my feet like the sands of the sea. I've seen days as scorching as flame, summer days of June and July and August. I've seen winter evenings spread out like a cloak. I've seen summer evenings as calm and soft as something shed by paradise, all studded with stars. He goes on into this, it's kind of long. He says, but I tell you, says God, that I know of nothing so beautiful in the whole world as a little child going to sleep while he is saying his prayers under the wing of his guardian angel, and laughs happily as he watches the angels and begins to go to sleep, and is already mixing his prayers together and no longer knows what they are all about, and stick the words of Our Father among the words of Hail Mary all in a jumble. I have seen the greatest saint, says God, but I tell you I have never seen anything so funny, and I therefore know of nothing so beautiful in the world as that child going to sleep while he is saying his prayers.
You are a closet romantic,
Tom. I certainly am, and I'm proud of
Well,
it.
I think people are, right?
Uh-huh. That's for sure. And another thing's for sure is we are out of time and have to go. So I will summon up the theme, and then we will head for the exits. And thank you very much for joining us today on this edition of Scribble, where we've just been fooling around with poetry. Roland and I will be back next week. We'll see you then on the next edition of Scribble.